Welcome to Happily Holistic. I'm Amy Lee Mercury, and I'm a medical intuitive with 20 years of experience. I've written 15 books on health and wellness. If you've had a medical intuitive session with me, you know that the thoughts and emotions within you, what has been passed down from your ancestors, and everything that surrounds you can impact your well-being. In this podcast, we touch on my favorite ways for you to improve your health and feel more joy. We dive deeply into everything health and wellness with a big dash of spirituality and a sprinkle of business. We spotlight the uplifting and the positive and share the secret ways top wellness authors and celebrities get inspired, stay healthy, and enjoy this beautiful life. I can't wait to get happily holistic with you today. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Happily Holistic. I am so happy to be here today with Madeline Moon. Hi, Madeline.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Madeline has one of the top 50 ranked podcasts called Mind Body Musings. And she is committed to radical truth telling. She has a coaching practice and lots of really wonderful courses that we're going to discuss later. And Madeline, they can find you on Instagram at, is it Madeline Moon?
Yes, M-A-D-E-L-Y-N Moon.
Yeah, Moon, exactly. And that's where I found Madeline. And I was really pulled in by some of her work. So I'm excited that we get to talk to her about what she does. So to start, I would love to hear, Madeline, how you got started on this path of teaching and coaching and the podcast that resulted as well.
Well, I feel like I've spent half my life doing that now. So yeah. It truly hasn't been half my life, but it feels that way. I started coaching when I was 20 and I'm 29.
Awesome.
I was led there divinely. Like I just knew ever since I was a child that I wanted to be my own boss and teach people things. I just didn't know what yet. And I had a very challenging upbringing where a lot of my autonomy and agency was taken from me. And I wasn't given the freedom to make my own. It's not about making decisions, because there's a part of parenting that requires you to make the decisions for your kids.
Right.
But really, I grew up in one of those environments where you felt something and you were told that you didn't feel it, or you wanted something and you were told that you didn't want it. So it's not so much about wanting the thing and not getting it. It's more about being told that whatever you're feeling in your body isn't real.
Yeah.
And here's what you need to feel instead. So there was a lot of challenging pieces in my life that were very, very, very undercover. No one acknowledged them. No one talked about them. And the abuse went by being called love. And so as I got older, I learned to cope with my inherent self-hatred because of the way I was raised. I didn't know that the way I was fine. I thought it was not fine. And so, excuse me, I started leaning on food and bodybuilding and counting calories, counting steps, counting everything. OCD.
Yes.
I had panic attacks when things were moved out of place. Like I had all these warning signs of or side effects of being someone with severe anxiety, but it was never supported. And so I found myself in college spiraling into some self-destructive patterns of majorly abusing alcohol and abusing food and then abusing Adderall and ending up in, in the extreme of like that kind of bodily abuse, which then funneled into bodybuilding because it was another way for me to abuse my body, but then do it in a way that also made me look perfect.
Yes.
And the accumulation of a few years of that led to several bathroom floor breakdowns where I just opened up and realized that, I think it's so fortunate that at the age of 21, I realized that I was hurting myself very much so. And I just did this like old crone like thing where I just packed my bags in the middle of the night and I went into the mountains and I went on a personal retreat for a year, basically just finding myself. And that was when I was 22 and isolated myself almost from everybody. And that's when I started my podcast and started coaching and started teaching and hiring coaches. And that's now 8 years ago. Nearly 8 years ago. And over the past 8 years, it's just been a massive deep dive into all things innate, feminine, masculine, relationships, polarity, and finding God and finding the ability to be so open you feel penetrated by all of life. Mm-hmm. And living a really tantric type of type of life in regards to the world, not just in regards to a partner, but like being in tantric practice with the entire world all the time.
Right. And finding safety and openness, I think, is really huge, especially when we didn't feel safe prior, you know, in the world, to come to a place where openness feels not only safe at all, but is the preferred safest feeling state. I think that's really a profound transformation.
Exactly. The openness is key.
Mm-hmm. And I think it takes time. And I know it's kind of a lifelong process too.
Oh, for sure. Because you keep, as long as you're hungry for it, because you keep realizing you have edges. You're like, oh, that was interesting. Like I thought I met all my edges already. And you're like, oh no, let's go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the edges just keep getting juicier and richer. And
I agree.
Inspiring.
I agree with that for sure. And I think as we, you know, continue to bring consciousness to that idea of openness and to have that be a central tenet in our lives, whether it's from a tantric perspective or a Taoist perspective, we can put whatever kind of philosophy on it, but as we go into that as one of our intentions for life and we're looking through that lens, I don't know about for you, but I think it opens so many things up to bring forward for self-exploration, whether it's relationships, aspects of career, especially as a coach. I work as a medical intuitive. So both of us talk to people, you know, for a living. We're talking to people, and to go into something like that with a personal openness, all of those areas, I think just are, it's such a ripe, it's a ripe idea and a ripe feeling, a ripe intention for self-transformation for the long term, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So did you study Tantra? Like how did the tantric side of life come into that for you?
Yes and no. So the lineage that I have learned from is not called Tantra, but it is Tantra. It's yogic intimacy.
Yeah.
So it's using the body. The yoga of is very different from the therapy of. So the therapy of something is like the mental processing and understanding and breaking apart and unpacking. It's when you sit on a couch together and you go, let's talk about this. Whereas the yoga of is how you can transmit a message using your body. The yoga of means the way that, you know, my arms are right now is going to impact the space differently if my arms are like this, you know, open wide. Or if I cave downward, put my face into the ground and start crying, it's going to be different than I'm crying and looking up at the sky.
Right.
Or polarity speaking, if I sit still and breathe really deeply and lower my voice, I'm now more of a transmission of the masculine and calmness and groundedness. Otherwise I might be moving and I might lift my voice a little bit and not be feminine. So there's a way we can use our body to transmit something, whether it be feminine or masculine. And if those words don't really work for people, you can say Shiva and Shakti, you can say sun and moon, you can say flow and structure.
I love those. I love all of those.
So I started learning and understanding feminine masculine from my own self-knowledge probably about 5 years ago. And I was like, mm-hmm. I got all this stuff. This is easy. And then I went into basically a 2-year deep dive with two of my teachers and totally got like up-leveled majorly in my understanding of embodiment and what it actually means, what it's actually calling you to do, which is at times one of the scariest things your nervous system can do, because it's asking you to lean into all of those edges and also know how to monitor your edges so that you don't go too far. You can respect your body as you also lean in. So I started training with them, and being that I'm also a poet, like it's just the natural way to live is feeling is the way that we can combine our sex with our spirit all day long, not just in the bedroom, not just when we're making dinner, but like when we're walking down the street. Like, can you feel the part of you that is pulsating womb with penetrating God? Like, can you feel God's presence in your openness all day long? Yes. And that's what we do when we look into the eyes of our lover. We're seeing God in their eye as we feel them penetrate us, or as we penetrate them, whatever we're doing. That's what it is. It's the combination of spirit and sex. And sex isn't like, when I first heard that kind of language, I thought that meant actually like spirit and actual sex.
Right.
It's really like spirit and creation, spirit and union, spirit and breaking open.
Absolutely. And in duality, these polarity principles of creation coming together to create something greater than just the one, which, you know, it's interesting. I'm teaching a shamanism class on this right now for my expert level shamanic group. And we actually did that last night. We're exploring that, where in duality, we have the separateness of masculine, feminine, yin, yang, whatever you want to call it. And yet outside of duality, in a non-dualistic space, that is complete union. And so when we do experience that union for these instances while in duality, we're bridging multidimensionality in a new way, whether we do it through sex or through whatever other way we do it, through creating something, through meditation, through dance, whatever that is. And I'm really loving the way that you're framing that. It's a pretty nice synchronicity that I'm teaching on that right now, and we're exploring that. And it's always interesting in shamanism classes, because the group, you know, does a shamanic journey and I'm drumming for them. And then they come back and they share on the topic. I've given them their topic. And so this is what we've been exploring. And, you know, it's just really diverse and interesting the way we can take these principles, and then each person's going to have a unique experience when tapping into that union, which that's the essence of the tantric mindset, correct? Is union with everything. Am I right in thinking that?
I think so. I mean, I'm by no means a tantric expert.
Right.
I don't even try to be, because it feels like I already get it. Like, it just in my body, it's like, oh yeah, it's seeing God in everything.
Yeah.
And then when you combine seeing God in everything with the most vulnerable pieces of you, letting that meet your vulnerability.
Yes.
Is true bliss. It's true bliss.
Yes.
And I also love what you're talking about with this non-dualistic meets dualistic. And I really love this, because whenever I'm in anything like the dualistic, I get to feel my devotion.
Yeah.
Like, there's a really beautiful thing about that. I consider myself to walk the path of bhakti, which is the path of devotion. And so if you ever met a bhakti before, they are... I mean, I'm not considering myself to be on this level yet, but like, people who are singing and chanting all day long, they are just the most blissful people.
Yeah.
And that's what the path of devotion leads us to, is this.
You have that essence too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
you thank you. Uh-huh. It's an ecstatic kind of bliss where you're just like, so joyful. And that's what also being a student or being a devotee will give you, is this kind of like, that's what it gives you, devotion. Because if you are already that, and you don't have any space for being a servant to the divine, right. and be in devotion to the divine. Well, it's a human experience that you, I'm not going to use the word robbed, but you might be benefited from having, because it's a very, very right. beautiful experience to lay flower petals at the floor of, on the, yes. by the feet of Mary Magdalene. You know, it's like yes. how lovely it is that we get to be the ones to be devotional yes. to those we love.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, it's Amy Lee Mercree. I'm so grateful to be a part of my medical intuitive clients' journeys of healing and evolution. We're all on our own paths to greater health and self-actualization. In a medical intuitive session with me, we connect deeply with your spirit guides and ancestors and dig into the root causes of what's going on in your physical body, emotions, mind, energetic body, and spirit. To learn more about my medical intuitive work, check out the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com.
Absolutely. And I think as coaches, medical intuitive, but in any of us who serve one-to-one or groups, teachers, I think we have to be in that. You know, when I was right around the age you were, when you kind of got into everything, I think I might have been 23, and I had already been studying shamanism, and it was right before I started working with clients. I've been a medical intuitive for 20 years now. I really felt in a deep way that I was devoting my life to service through the divine feminine, although both, you know, and at that point I was working a lot with the goddess Isis. And I even got a little tattoo on my left big toe, the will toe, and the left side being the feminine. And it looks like henna. It's very faded now, it's old, but it still looks nice considering, which it was good. It was small, like it was a good place to put a tattoo. But I did that in symbolism of combining my will with the will of the goddess. And I think when we do make a commitment to serve, even if that means we're going to be successful in the world, it's a nice compass to help us stay close to bliss, close to ecstasy, even if we kind of veer away. We are able to come back to that, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
absolutely.
I love the way that you framed it. And it is that path of bhakti, absolutely, in the devotion practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's made a nice life. We'll see what you say in 15 years. I'm a little bit older than you. Yeah. It makes for a nice life. Yeah, it does. And, you know, in duality, like we've said, we have all this choice and all this free will choice to explore masculine, feminine, these different polarities and how we want to bring them together. Mm-hmm. So to kind of segue, I'd love to hear more on that too, like as far as your work with the masculine and feminine and the way that you present that to your students and the way that you foster union and exploration of sort of those two sides, and then in that united space as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in my lineage, the masculine is consciousness and the feminine mm-hmm. is energy. So the world is based off of everything and nothing.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what the masculine and feminine is. The masculine is, quote, nothing. It's the part yeah. of us that's never changed.
Yeah.
Whereas the feminine is the part that's always changing.
Moving.
It's constantly yeah. moving. It's always morphing yeah. into something else. One minute it's like yeah. a calm sunny day, and the next minute it's a tsunami.
Yeah.
It's like the jungle.
Yeah.
And this duality exists on every kind of plane, emotionally, physically, spiritually, yes. tangibly.
Yeah.
And so we have this that's playing back and forth within ourselves, and then we have it that's playing back and forth with other, and then with the world. So there's three different layers of how we engage with polarity. Mm-hmm. And at different times in our life, it's important to tend to one of those three. Sometimes it's all three that we're really focusing mm-hmm. on, but I find that for example, 2020 was a year that layer three, the polarity that we experience with the world, was not quite as expansive as it was the previous years, where we could do spoken word performances and be the feminine in the world, go on dates, or be the masculine in the world, leading your warrior group trainings or climbing the corporate ladder, being in the world. That's layer three. It was really a time for layer one, which we come back into our own bodies. We're back into our homes. We're experiencing the dance between our emotions during the pandemic with our ability to get shit done with this, the masculine. So we were in our homes experiencing, oh, I feel a lot, but I need to do things.
Yeah.
It was a time to tend to what was happening within our own selves.
Yeah.
And then for some of us, there was also the layer three, which is okay, I'm in my feminine primarily, and I have a partner, and he's in his masculine primarily. How do we keep polarity alive while we live together all the time? So if that's a path that someone chooses to take, discovering polarity, then that is the pandemic of being in home and quarantine is a great time to work on that as well.
Yeah, intensive, huh?
Yeah, it's an intensive. That's
So for those of us who are still, experiencing that and wanting to work with polarity in a relationship, what are some top food for thought or tips for our listeners to kind of explore that and foster that?
It's really challenging to just give top tips because this is a really big this is an intensive on understanding polarity. Maybe do you have another specific question around
maybe how about this for couples in relationships who are wanting to keep that polarity alive, where should they start, whether it's a certain resource or a practice or an idea?
So in order, this is just something really important for people to understand, in order for a relationship to work, there needs to be sameness. So what that sameness is gets to vary. It's not always you have to have the same political beliefs. I don't know why I keep losing my voice today. The sameness could be, we both want kids, or we both don't care, or we both don't care about politics. Or we both very much care.
We
both want to live in California. There needs to be some sameness. So we love the sameness because the sameness is what allows the relationship to last. So let's praise the sameness.
Yeah.
And sameness is often what kills polarity.
Yeah.
So if you're living together, you live in the same house, sameness. You have breakfast together, sameness. You have a kid together, sameness.
Yes.
You do all the kid activities together, sameness, sameness, sameness. So polarity, literally what polarity is, if people don't know this, is it is opposition, opposites, feminine and masculine, yin and yang. So if you want polarity to feel alive, where you actually want to jump on your partner's bones again, then you have to create distance.
Yes.
And that distance can come in a couple different ways. One of the ways can be physical distance. One of you takes a 3-day trip.
Right.
Where you leave the house for just the daytime, you actually create an hour of distance. But the other way is energetic distance, where one person takes the masculine pole and one person takes the feminine. It only takes one person in order to make that switch. So if you're listening to this and you happen to be a woman, you don't want to go home and say, okay, we're going to do this thing now where you're more masculine and I'm going to be more feminine. So instead, if you're a feminine identified person, which means you're the person who may have emotions ruling the forefront, or you feel very deeply, or you want more and more love, and you're happy and you're sad and you're up and you're down, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a hard worker, so therefore you're masculine. No.
Right.
It's not true. I'm a very hard worker. I'm primarily feminine.
Same.
Yeah. You understand this, but some people don't understand this yet. They think, well, I just keep running myself into the ground with work, so I must be masculine. No, you're probably feminine. Especially if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So your job is to out-feminine your partner. And what does that mean?
Yeah.
It means you stop leading. Yeah. Means you stop leading and you let him lead. But as one of my teachers, Kendra Kunov, says, you let him lead badly too.
Yes, that's the hard part.
One of the things it's so hard. It's so hard.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard.
Hard.
Yeah, I agree.
But you have to. In the name of love, you have to let him fuck up and then not punish. I'm saying him, but it can be him and her.
Right.
Whatever your partner is, but you have to let your masculine identified partner fuck up.
Yeah, you do. It's hard.
It's hard, but you have to go, it's okay. It's okay. Like, even if I could have done this better, can you see the part of him that is God and is doing God's best?
Yeah.
If you can see that and you can love your partner for the part of him or her that is God, please do so for the betterment of the relationship. Let him learn how to lead you better. Yeah. So my recommendation, something I feel very passionate about, is that we start to get rid of this very old archaic way of doing things, which is punishing people into doing
that. Yes.
And when I say punishing, I mean withholding your love, giving the cold shoulder, being passive aggressive, being explosive. All of that is abusive. Whether or not you see it, it's abusive.
Yes, it is. And so we learn it, I think, in family of origin.
Totally. Too. Oh, yeah. Totally. It's going to go against every grain in your body to stop punishing. So the way of the future is to reveal and to reward. So if someone does something, if your partner picks up his phone in the middle of a dinner conversation and you don't like that, how can you reveal in a way that's connected to your heart rather than
a great example. I'm going to probably use that.
Yeah.
Tell us how.
So you can, one of my favorite ways is to paw at him like a kitty and then make a sad face, be like, or
it's playful too that way, which is feminine.
Yeah. I like that one. Uh-huh. I've also been taught that you can hiss, like a cat, like that one depends on your partner, like your comfort level.
That's more aggressive though.
Yeah. I've done that with someone I don't really know that well. And I don't think he liked it. you have to be willing to also mess up. You have to be willing to do trial and error. Cause this is a experiment.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can also stomp your foot. You can be a brat as long as you're connected to your heart. It will come across as an expression of your feminine.
Yeah.
Because the feminine's wild. So if you're a wild cat or you're a wild brat, is going to be so much better than you just shutting down and resenting him quietly. That's the abuse. Being a kitty that's clawing at him. That's being so
That's fun
honest.
Too.
Yeah. Being so honest.
It's honest. It's fun. And I think as that other person, it'd be hard to not get engaged with that and respond, which is what you're wanting. If it's the phone thing, then it works and it's light. I like the lightness myself. Yeah.
Same.
What a great example, Madeline. That was awesome. I can imagine our listeners are going to have a lot of good takeaways just from that, the starting to think in those terms too. Good. Around relationships. I love that. We're already through our time. We had a lot of really neat stuff come up in a super short time here.
Great.
Yeah. That's thank cool. you so much for being here. And sometimes I don't either because we get deep in a conversation or I forget occasionally. But I usually ask our guests one final question, which is if you could send a message back in time to your 17-year-old self and tell her one thing, what would it be?
I just would say, I love you.
Aww.
I mean, actually, the thing for me that I normally answer with this question is I would tell her I love you for free.
Yes.
Because love always came at a cost. And I actually had a boyfriend who would tell me that whenever I would panic that I did something wrong.
Yeah.
He would it was the sweetest thing. Even the first time he did it, we were sitting at a Thai food restaurant and it was cold outside and the windows were foggy. And I told him that I just didn't think I could do this relationship anymore. And he just looked at me and he just started, he was an artist, true and true. He just started finger painting into the foggy mirror, "I love you for free." And he, we just ordered our food. It was like from a movie.
Beautiful.
Because he was just saying, even if you break up with me, I'll still love you.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would tell my younger version of me is like, no matter what you do, if you break up with me, if you abandon me, if you stop eating well, if you hurt your body through bodybuilding or eating disorders or Adderall, whatever it is, I will still love you.
I love that. That's a beautiful message. Well, thank you for being here, Madeline. It was so nice to talk with you.
So nice to speak with you as well. Thank
you. Yes. So where can our listeners find you and your work?
Yeah, so you can find me at maddymoon.com, M-A-D-D-Y, on Instagram at Madeline Moon. My podcast is called Mind Body Musings. It's been around for 7 years, so lots of episodes on there. And I have a free embodiment practice for anyone who wants to try both feminine and masculine embodiment. I have a recording that gives a small practice for each, so it won't take up too much of your time. And you can find that maddymoon.com/feminine. And then the last thing I'll mention is I have two different courses. One's called the Feminine Spirit School. And that's really wonderful for anyone who's new to this feminine and masculine embodiment. It's very guided. It's an 8-week course. It will take you through an entire journey leading up to sexual shame and ancestral healing, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, and shadow work. And then my other course is called the Sisu Society. And this is, during 2020, I did a group coaching program where I led women through all sorts of practices, Osho practices, feminine movement and grief practices.
Wow.
And I taught things like the heroine's journey and womb cycles.
Oh, it's like beautiful.
It's a really like full and rich course. So people can read that and check that out on my website as well. Again, that's called the Sisu Society.
That sounds wonderful. All of those offerings sound wonderful. I'm sure everyone's going to want to go check those out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, Madeline. It was lovely to chat with you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for listening to Happily Holistic. We are wishing you a wonderful day and we love you for free.
Thanks for listening to Happily Holistic with me, Amy Lee Mercree. You can find out more about the show on amyleemercree.com on the podcast page. Please stop by your favorite social platform and leave me a comment. I'd love to hear how you liked today's show and what topics you'd like me to cover in the future. Come find me on Instagram and Facebook at amyleemercree.com. If you would like to see what a medical intuitive session with me is all about, hop on over to the Work With Me page on amyleemercree.com. Until next time, stay happily holistic.